talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm one half your host, a finger on the pulse, Terry Diabolic. Sliding down into the seat is DJ Never Forget. How are you?
I am good. It is good to be. We are officially back for the entire summer. We, you know, Europe and Chicago and gallivanting around the world, eating wonderful wild board meals has been so tiring. But it is nice to be back in New York and back doing the radio show.
And who was that track?
That was Skinny Friedman, part of Philadelphians, and he will be on the show later today. That actually was the Sammy Bananas remix, who's part of Telephoned, who was on an earlier episode. And we want to give a big shout out to them. They're starting out their tour with Holy Ghost and Chromeo today, and it's a very exciting time for them in their lives because that's amazing.
Yeah,
and we love them.
Well, being back in New York and being happy that it's summertime and a chance to enjoy some of our favorite drinks and food, and no food tops the list like oysters. And we are very lucky to be joined today by the executive chef of Grand Central Oyster Bar, Sandy Engber. Sandy, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
So, if any of you have ever swung through Grand Central and had an oyster, Sandy is one of the guys who has come up with the menu and the delicious food you've put in your mouth. Sandy, what's it been like to work for the Grand Central Oyster Bar?
Well, it's been a pretty crazy ride. I've been with them for 20 years. I was a seafood chef before that, and I really thought I knew oysters. Then once I started, I realized I really didn't know anything. Took a while to learn it all, and it's been really great.
Now, I'm curious, you know, what does it mean to learn about oysters? I mean, I know there's different sizes and everything, but like, what was one of the first things that you learned that you thought that you had known, but was a new fact in your new position?
Well, first of all, I learned there were 5 different species of oysters in America, which, of course, I didn't know anything about, and I didn't know anything more than Blue Point.
Right.
But now, you know, the East Coast, West Coast, all the different myths, all everything to do with oysters is part of my repertoire right now. And I buy all the oysters direct, and we have on our menu upwards of 30 oysters on a daily basis.
What is your favorite oyster myth?
My favorite oyster myth is that the R months is a myth.
Oh, that's right.
That's a good one, because nowadays it was originally true that only eat oysters with R months and not in the summertime. But now, because of the oyster boom in America and refrigeration, and there's so many oysters available. Back when I first started in 1990, I was lucky to get 4 oysters in the summer. Now I have to hold back from buying over 30.
Right.
And the whole point of R months is that the oyster spawning in the summertime, but when one is spawning, another is not spawning.
Right.
And it's like a cycle, so there's no problem with that anymore.
Now, one of the beautiful things that I love about oysters is their freshness and really getting a chance to taste the sea. Walk us through a normal day of, you know, shopping and getting oysters and prepping the restaurant before we dive into this delicious food in front of us.
Well, mostly my day starts at Fulton Fish Market. I go there prepared with what I have to purchase. And I go and I handpick 90% of all my fish by hand. But 90% of all the oysters I have bought, purchased direct, and I have most of them delivered into Fulton Fish Market, and I have them trucked over to the oyster bar with the fish that I purchase. And so my day starts there. I come to the restaurant, and being the executive chef, I'm doing about 10 different hats at the same time, and including running this oyster bar, running the kitchen, running a purchasing department also at the same time. And every department has its own little tweaking to go. One of the big things that I do in the beginning is I write the menu. And I use inventories and purchasing to help me, and that's how I come up with my menu per day. And I give the guy who opens the oyster department, the oyster shucking department, his little menu, and he goes from there. And we taste oysters throughout the morning and the stuff that comes in and make sure they're, you know, 100% perfect. And, you know, the oyster bar is about freshness.
Right, right.
It's not particularly about creativity as much as it is about freshness.
Right.
And what's on the plate is what we're all about.
What's the average amount of time between coming out of the ocean and being able to eat an oyster at your restaurant?
The average time, I would say, is 48 hours.
Wow.
Okay. And I have a tremendous amount of movement. I am selling, even at this slow period of time, 3,000 to 4,000 oysters on a half shell.
Is that a day?
A day.
Wow.
And that's not including cooked oysters.
Right.
So there's a lot of movement, and it, you know, but that said, it's a lot of work also making sure that everything is fresh and rotated and inventoried and properly done, and everything has to be tagged by, you know, it's certified by the New York City Health Department, and, you know, it's, we're always on the up and up on everything.
Now, we're looking at about a variety of oysters in front of us. I see a bunch of East Coast oysters and a bunch of West Coast oysters, and let's just break it down simply. What's the main difference between an East Coast oyster and a West Coast oyster?
Well, East Coast oyster, every East Coast oyster except the European flat, which is called a Balan, are called Virginicas. And they're, even the ones in the Gulf of Mexico all the way up to Prince Edward Island, they come from the same species. And depending upon what part of the East Coast they're from is how much salt or brine they'll have. So typically, as they go up into the colder waters, they get more salt content.
Right.
And our policy, by the way, at the oyster bar is not to serve any southern oysters below the Virginia's line. So we don't serve any Gulf oysters at all, or anything south
of Chicopee. What's the reasoning behind that?
But mostly because of the water being warm, and the Gulf of Mexico, first of all, is a very polluted body of water. It has a high chance of a virus called Vibrio, which is deadly. Why the people in New Orleans don't get sick from it, I don't know, but that's our policy.
Right.
And so if you, let's say you started at Maryland or Virginia, they're a little more on the mild side, mm-hmm. with a little bit of brine, then you come to Long Island, and our Blue Point, which is our biggest seller, has a little bit of brine, fairly mild. It's also a very good beginner's oyster because of that salinity. Then as you go farther north, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maine, and then up into Canada, they get much more brine. So that's the difference of the East Coast oysters. Mm-hmm. West Coast oysters are much more indistinct as far as flavor go. I like to just call them sweet.
Right.
Because they're all sweet. Some of them have little hints of melon and cucumber and maybe some a little more briny. Like as you go farther north of Canada and Alaska, they do get more brininess. But in general, most of them are sweet.
Okay. So what's in front of us right now? I see a bunch of fried oysters. I see a bunch of oysters on the half shell. Can you talk us through the difference of what we're looking at and what you can expect from the oysters you brought us?
Okay. Well, first of all, I have an assortment of East and West Coast oysters that we would be serving on the half shell. That's really not that big a deal, but the the preparations is what I really like, because you can come into the oyster bar and you can get cooked or prepared raw oysters with different kinds of toppings that really enhance the flavors. And every week we do a different oyster special. This is one that we're doing today. It's a sake and preserved Meyer lemon mignonette with rice wine vinegar and sake and preserved Meyer lemons. This is a shooter. Every week we do a different shooter. We've kind of in a groove to do Bloody Mary shooter. It's boring, but everybody loves that.
I mean, I already got excited to Bloody Mary shooter. It's like, you
it's
know,
a classic.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
Everybody knows shooters are Bloody Mary.
Right.
So, and I want to sell stuff.
Right.
So I've tried a lot of different kinds of shooters, and they're really good, but, you know, if they don't sell, they're no good for me.
Right.
This is a roasted Blue Point oyster with Chipotle Tabasco, which it's very simple, but it's really great. And you can roast oysters on a barbecue. You can open up and roast them underneath a broiler. They're very easy to roast. And just top it with a little Chipotle-flavored Tabasco sauce or your favorite hot sauce. Super simple.
About how long do you need to, if I would just have like a grill at like a medium heat in a barbecue?
Just until they pop.
Okay.
As soon as they pop, they're ready to go.
Okay.
Same thing as you can bake an oyster whole. Okay. As soon as they pop, they're ready to go.
Got it.
If you open them up and you put them underneath the broiler, they only take about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Just until they become firm.
Right.
Then over here is our most popular and most famous hot oyster dish. It's just fried oysters.
Fried oysters.
With tartar sauce. Can't get more classic than that.
Right.
And in this day and age of health food cooking, fried is really popular.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much fried food we serve during our busy times. So then we take the same oyster and we cover it with buffalo sauce, and it's buffalo oyster wings with blue cheese and celery sticks.
Amazing. You know, one of the things I love about seafood is that, you know, a shack in Cape Cod, anyway, up to your oyster bar, there's sort of like a level of enjoyment. And also the evolution of from the shacks to this like gourmet approach to seafood. Can you talk a little bit about the trends of, you know, getting something like a Meyer lemon preserve on top of an oyster and like where you saw it taking off in the years past?
I would say that over the years, and certainly over the last 10 years, the trend has been going towards a little more fancy, whether it's using different flavored topicos, different flavored mignonettes, away from the standard oysters Rockefeller, even though that's one of our biggest sellers.
Right.
And the trend towards using different ingredients, whatever it is.
Right.
Because chefs just use anything they feel like now, and everything goes.
Right.
It's kind of an interesting way of preparing food that way. To know that, but I mean, it takes a good chef to know that flavors work.
Right.
Because you can throw anything in there, and if it don't work, it don't work.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't matter how fancy it is.
No, it doesn't. So, but you take caviar, champagne vinegar, throw it together, put it on top of an oyster. It's wonderful.
So we're going to play a song and sample some of the food, and then we'll come back and talk to you a little bit more about
the oyster bar, and we're going to talk to you about the current state in the Gulf and how it's affecting the fish industry. Again, our guest today is Sandy from the Grand Central Oyster Bar, executive chef and oyster connoisseur. We are finger on the pulse. We have Skinny Freeman coming up later, and a big shout out to TechServe, who are our sponsors for today, who have saved our computers many times over. Thank you to Heritage Radio Network, all of our fans, listeners, and Roberta's. Take it away.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. That was just the new Arcade Fire track off the new album. They're playing Terminal 5 later this summer. Very excited. And we are very excited to still be in studio with Sandy Ingber from the Grand Central Oyster Bar and Restaurant. We have delved into a bunch of these fried oysters, buffalo oysters, the oyster with Meyer lemon, and
it's delicious.
It's all delicious, and it really is nice to see the freshness of the oyster and the restraint of your cooking, so you're not just, you know, trying to find the oyster flavor under a whole topping of fancy ingredients and things like that.
It's delicious.
Thank you.
So, you know, obviously seafood has been on the minds of many Americans as well with the spill in the Gulf. And while we touched briefly upon Gulf seafood before, you said that there's still like a lot of problems with Gulf seafood, and we were talking about how it affects your restaurant. So if you go into a little bit about how the oil spill has affected not only the resources but the prices of your sourcing and location.
Okay, well, especially oysters have been affected tremendously. Well, you know, the Gulf has a lot of seafood. You have the shrimp, crabbing, oysters, and of course fish. Mm-hmm. So fish is probably the least amount of regulated industry that's in the Gulf, but oysters are highly regulated by the FDA and with the shellfish certification program, and they've stopped oystering all over the Gulf now. But the Gulf provides 70% of all the oysters consumed in America, and that's a lot of oysters. And if they shut that down, the demand is still there. It's drawing from East Coast and the West Coast to try to supply that demand. So specifically shucked oysters, the oysters that you buy already out of the shell that we use for fried oysters, the price has almost doubled.
Wow.
And it was gradual, but the demand is still so high. It's going to get worse, and before it gets better, unfortunately.
How many years are we looking at here till if there is even a return to normalcy before the spill, and if there is, how long is that going to take?
I would say your guess is as good as mine. I mean, look, look what happened when they had a threat of a tropical storm. What's going to happen if Katrina ever goes through the Gulf right now where the oil spill was? It's going to dissipate the oil everywhere.
Right.
So, for them to say, 3 to 6 months to clean it up, I really have my doubts on that. If you ask me, I'd say it's at least 2 or 3 years.
So,
if they can ever stop it.
Right. So once this source gets depleted or starts to go away, where do you start? Like, how do you adjust your business in the restaurant since you're based on oysters and seafood and things like that? Where do you start looking for other ingredients or other sources of ingredients?
Well, basically, the other sources are for this one product is very difficult to get. Okay, they're now having to shuck oysters from more northern areas where the oysters are more expensive. Okay, so now it's creating a much more expensive product. So, where's the cap? How much are people going to pay for a plate of fried oyster? $30, $40? I'm not so sure.
Right.
And I do think that eventually there will be a cap. And I did ask my waiters that question. And I said, do you think that people will pay $27.95 for a plate of fried oysters? They said yes. So right now, I'm not that high, but I went from $18.95 to $21.95. They're still selling.
Right.
So, luckily, a big part of my business is tourist. So
they got to have the oysters at Grand Central.
They got to have the oysters at Grand Central. Luckily, the rest of my stuff is not really being too affected right now. The price of my Blue Points have gone up because they're shipping Blue Points down to Louisiana and that area where the demand is, and that's created a shortage, and that's my number one oyster, Blue Point. So,
what about the shortage? I mean, I know that there's a good community between the seafood people and different restaurants and things like that. How have the restaurants down in the coast been affected? Have they just been completely devastated and wiped out, or is there a glimmer of hope with them sourcing other oysters from the north?
I'm not sure I can truly answer that question, except that I do think that they're very, look, they got through Katrina.
Right, right.
Okay, and if they could get through that, they can get through this, because people are still going to go down there. They're very resourceful people. So I think they will bounce back. Eventually, they'll have to find other food besides oysters and make do with racer prices.
We want to thank you for joining us. I got one last question. What is your favorite oyster?
My favorite oyster is, I have two on the West Coast. There was Kumamoto, but I now have a new favorite oyster. And this is it right here. It's called Mataki. It comes from British Columbia. It's hand manicured, meaning that they tumble it every day to get rid of the edges. It's just an incredible oyster. And I love Ballon oysters, which originally come from France. We get them from Maine when we can, and they're very briny and have a little bit of metallic flavor. Pack a big punch.
Really? All right. Awesome. Well, Sandy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
If any of you have yet to be to the Grand Central Oyster Bar, it is a must-go and a classic institution of the New York culinary scene. And your hours are every day a week?
So we're closed on Sunday. We're open 11:30 to 9:30 every day, and Saturdays 12 to 9:30.
Beautiful. It's a good place to take your family, and it's a great place to impress out-of-town guests. Sandy, thanks again.
Thank you.
I am Terry Diabolik from Finger on the Pulse. DJ Never Forgets can do a small set, and then we have Skinny Friedman coming in to rock us out for the rest of the hour. Thanks again to TechServe, Jack Inslee, Rec Tech, and Roberta's. Take it away.
Beat me up, beat me up, beat me up.
ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. I'm Ted Diabolik, a finger on the pulse. And we are just slurping down the rest of our oysters. I was just DJ Never Forget, dropping a quick, small set. Never Forget, what'd you just play?
I have to look it up because I unplugged my computer and took it off. But the first one was in the new Magic Mountain Jack Renault remix, and the second was a Glenn Morris track. So I guess I don't really have to look.
Good stuff.
Thanks.
So we are lucky enough to have an awesomely packed show today. We are joined in studio
by Skinny Freedom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, do I put these on?
Yeah, you can put them on. I mean, I just hear this. Man, the voices are good.
Cool.
Welcome. We have been running in similar circles for a number of years.
Indeed.
And I don't know if we've ever actually met more than a handful of times face to face.
Right.
But for the uneducated listeners out there, why don't you give them a little background about who you are and what you do?
My name is Skinny Freedman. I'm a DJ. I live in Brooklyn, New York. That's basically it. I produce. I'm one third of a team that runs a label called Young Robots. I'm half of a DJ crew called Philadelphians, which is me and DJ App One, who is one of the other two dudes that runs Young Robots, the third being this guy, Relative Q, in Pittsburgh.
Let's talk about Young Robots. How long has the label been around?
Well, we launched it last year. I'll give the brief history, basically, is that there was App One and Relative Q did this Italo Disco project called RCMP,
right,
kind of on a whim, 2 years ago or something. I'm not really sure, but they did it. It was really well received. It sort of circulated tracks among some DJs, and it got picked up by this label called Flamin' Hots in Philly, which is, they've done like one of the first Trouble and Bass records. Yep. They did the Curtis Vodka record. They've done some really cool stuff. They did the Tambourine Dream records, I think, is their biggest
right
project. But anyway, so they're like usually pretty aggressively vinyl only, and that's good dudes. So they put out the RCMP record, and then we sort of realized we needed something with digital, and we sort of shopped it around for a little bit, and then realized that, you know, starting a label is really just a matter of having music to put out and having enough connections to get it distributed.
Right.
Both of which we had, so we decided we should do that. So that was basically, that was it.
So DIY.
Yeah, it was very DIY.
Digital DIY age.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, all, you know, people that, you know, aren't in quote unquote the game, and my relatives are always like, how hard is it to start a label? I'm like, it's, I feel like I'm like giving away secrets here, but like starting a label is really a matter of being like, yo, we have a label. That's it. We registered a website and put up a WordPress mm-hmm. site, and we all make music. There we have a label.
Right.
So there's no, I mean, there was some paperwork and everything, and, you know,
I mean, it really is like how it used to be with DIY label. It's like how it's like, I don't know, I found a vinyl player that got like 100 like 7 inches press, and I am now officially,
yeah,
like
I'm officially a label. You know, yeah. there's no paperwork. It's just, you say you have a label and you do, so
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really great. Like the modern DNA. So you just had an EP come out, right?
Yeah. So I just
which
put my EP
we played the Semi Bananas remix to open up the show.
That track is amazing.
That track is amazing.
And I'm not just saying that because it's on my record.
We always know it's a good track when the engineer and sound guys, they like come in, they're like, "What song is this?" That's like, that's the litmus test if we're playing a good song.
The guys who aren't the nerds and have no context for this stuff. Yeah.
Right.
The EP, it's called $100 Salad. It's three tracks, three original tracks, three remixes. The remixes are from Pumpkin Patch and DJ App One, and then that Semi Bananas remix as well. It's been pretty well received. I did a little Midwest tour last week to sort of support it. I've been yelling about it on the internet, and I mean, I'm really happy with it, all things considered, so can't really complain.
That's awesome. One of the other thing that I know that it's surprising we haven't crossed paths more is because we're also from right outside Philadelphia.
Oh, right, yeah.
So we also had the, you know, the we love Philadelphia, but I don't know if we could live there type relationship with that city. I don't know if you would.
Well, I have to speak on that. I always tread carefully because, like, I'm going to say this right now, I've never lived in Philadelphia. But that being said, my whole family's from there. I've been going there my whole life. Like, I spent Thanksgiving there almost every year of my life. My brother went to Haverford. I have a lot of ties to the city. But, like, when I moved to New York, which is about 5 years ago after college, I had known Apt One from high school. We went to high school together, and we would like DJ parties in Pittsburgh over the summers and stuff. And he went to school in Philly. So the way I started doing stuff in Philly in the first place was that I would go down there. I moved up here and almost immediately started going down to Philly to do parties with him. But, you know, I love it in New York, and I like the fact that I can sort of have this relationship with Philadelphia where, like, I've done stuff down there, and I've kind of made a name for myself a little bit. But, you know, not, you know, it's not, I see what you're saying, and that, you know, have this love for Philadelphia, we can never do it there, but it's like, I don't even mean to claim Philly at all, you know?
Right.
I think it's important to make this thing, because I know a lot of people that are big wigs in Philly and they work really hard, and that's an amazing place to play and it's an amazing city, but
That city was a big inspiration. I mean, the Making Time parties were a big inspiration for us throwing our parties. And, you know, Dave and, you know, R5 and Sean are all still doing it.
So. Yeah, which is amazing.
And John Redden.
Big shout out to the Barbary.
Yeah, we had a party at the Barbary for a while. John has put so much work into that place.
I would say if, you know, Brooklyn could build and curate a place like the Barbary, the dance scene in Brooklyn would be alive and thriving.
Yeah.
Instead of its current sort of like what's going on state.
And I mean, just to speak on that, I have this conversation with people like once a week at this point. But the thing that's cool about Philly is that it's got the diversity and interesting people that Brooklyn does.
Right.
But it is huge. It's really big. But it's still small enough that the scene isn't big enough to be like micro trended.
Right.
So like there isn't one party for every little scene. It's kinda like you've got these little parties and everyone kinda goes to everything and kinda knows each other.
Right.
So people actually interact with stuff they're not particularly familiar with, and you get a lot of intermixing, which is really cool for the scene.
Which is really great, we have that issue here of being too big and too niche.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, there's like you get like 100 serious people who are really into the music you're playing, but you're in like a 300 person venue as
right.
opposed to the Barbary, where it's Friday or Saturday night, it kind of almost, unless it's like totally outside your comfort
right.
zone, you're gonna do that. Now, let's get you on the decks.
Okay.
Let's get you play about maybe 15 minute set.
It's fine with me.
So we'll talk you out. This is when we
Sounds
just
cute.
Have a little conversation and everything right. like that. Man, I am full from those oysters.
It was really good. It's really, it's a luxury these days, and you know, unfortunately, oysters are becoming even more of a luxury. But so it goes. I really do wonder if people will hit that price point of...
I mean, some people will. I mean, it'll just be like that. But he's right, you know, especially... You know, I would say it's interesting for... Considering all the other chefs we've found in here, that's, I think, one of the most, like, straightforward, kind of give-the-people-what-we-want type of chef. Like, recognizes that he's got this great location. I mean, it's a huge, high-volume location. 3,000 oysters a day, is that what he said? Something like that, and that
3 to 4,000.
3 to 4,000, and just to be able to give them exactly what they want. By the way, in case you're wondering, the Bloody Mary shot was amazing. It had real vodka in there, and it's nothing like a nice little like afternoon break to go take a shot with an oyster in it.
Yeah. Anyway, Skinny, how are you looking over there?
Give me like 10 seconds.
Ten seconds. That's great. That's enough time for us to plug our wonderful sponsors, TechServe. Who saving your computer from the brink of oblivion or buying you a new one if you're a first-time user. Go there for all of your Apple and service needs.
Yeah, and also big shout-out to Mile End Deli and Avoir Simone, who will be cooking food and DJing, respectively, at our barbecue this Wednesday at Good Company, 10 Hope Street, 7 to 11 p.m., free entry, $5 plates, fingers crossed, no rain.
All right, here we go, Skinny Friedman live on Snacky.
Yep.
Paper cap.
All right, we are listening to you're listening to Snacking Tunes. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse. Big shout out to Skinny Friedman, who was just setting up his "Take Us Away" song. How you doing over there, Terry? You look a little tired.
I'm great. I'm just enjoying those summer beats.
But yeah, so you're listening to Snacking Tune live on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure to go back and check out our podcast. Go to iTunes and just search Snacky Tunes. Skinny, mind if we steal you over here for a second and ask you a couple questions about what you just played? If you could just tell us what you just played.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Not much. So what did you just play?
What did you just play? I played some... Well, I played some Rod Lee right there. I played some stuff from my friend's Tactic out in Kansas City. I played that Sammy Bananas remix of Adulture and OCD Automatic, which is coming out soon on Solid Bump. Shouts to them in San Francisco.
Right.
I don't know. Should I keep going? I'm trying to remember what I played. I played my remix of The Percolator, which is out there somewhere on the internet.
Nice.
I played some Major Lazer, which I don't need to say anything about at all, period.
New group?
New group, yeah.
Underground?
I think they're from somewhere in Texas. I played a track from this dude, Sticky, who I think is like an old two-step producer who put a record out on Dre Skull's label. That track was called Jumera Rhythm. I can't actually pronounce it, but it starts with a J. I think that's all I played. Did I play anything else? I can't remember.
Sounds pretty good. So in the closing minutes of this show, why don't you tell us, if I wanted to see you DJ somewhere, where could I go, either Philly or New York?
Well, in New York, the best place to see me right now is I'm doing a monthly at the Cove, which used to be Hugs in Williamsburg on North 6th Street, which is second Fridays. And the third one is going to be, I guess, August 13th. So a couple weeks coming up. And then Philly, we do first Fridays at Silk City, and we do second Saturdays at Medusa Lounge. And we're easy to find. Philadelphians.com, youngrobots.com, good place to look for all of our parties and flyers and tracks and information and stuff.
Right. So what is the last song that you're going to take us out with?
What did I cue up? Look. Oh, I think I brought up Mike Terror, Juke Them Hoes, because I like that song.
Great. And, it's a good summer theme song.
Indeed, yeah. We should all be out there juking some hoes for the summer.
All right. Well, thank you for coming and joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah,
thanks
dude.
For the pizza and the oysters.
Of course. You've been listening to Snacky Tunes. Next week, we have Ileana from Class Actress, who's going to come on and talk about being awesome and DJing and being lead singer of a great band. And
we have a food guest, right?
We have a food guest. Oh, yes. Still yet to confirm, but we actually are not like a tubing. I just got to make sure they're set. But I believe it's going to be a mobile food market from Vermont. But a big shout out to TechServe, Roberta's, Jack Inslee, Rec Tech,
Sandy Ingber.
Grand
Central Oyster Bar.
Yeah, I mean, really just, if your parents come to town, make sure to take them there. It was all really great. And thanks for listening to Snacky Tunes, and we'll see you next week.
Shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes. Want you to bang, 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 bang. Shoot them
I got
hoes,
this one, man.
Shoot them hoes, shoot them I hoes, shoot them hoes.
Windpipe man is in the house. If you see him, point him out. Check my style, I'm the shit. See my shoes, see my fit. You got cooch, I got dick. Let's go home and do it. And by it, I mean sex. I fuck so hard, I break your neck. What's your sign? What's your name? In my house, is you game? I got rubbers and champagne. Lose your date, he's a lame. Just touch on me, you like that. You want me to pipe that. You want the pole inside you. Club finna close, let's ride, boo. And
bang, 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 bang. Shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes. Want you to bang, 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 bang. Shoot them.
them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes.
She got me backed against the wall with her ass against my balls. Felt so good I had to pause. Let me think about jack, jack, jacking off. Ooh, baby, just back it off. Okay, bring it back again. Now let me see it do a little backwards bend. I went out the clothes, do that again. I'm like, ooh, oh, I eat. You gon' love me every time you fuck me. You want to give me money. I'm no minute man, I'm a gigolo. I get in it fast, I get in it slow. When I bang that, I leave the lips swole off purple and indigo. Like,
shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes. Want you to bang, 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 bang. Shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes.
I'm the new asshole in the industry. Church folk all wanna get rid of me. Feminists consider me enemy. I say hoes, I don't mean it offensively. I just don't know your names individually. You're not dancing, I gave you a remedy. A house track with a little bit of energy. The juke too when you off that Hennessy. Now change up that moment. Some juke them hoes ain't no fence. So now this sounds oh so pimp, bitch. But every girl got a little hoe in them. So let me see that part of you. That's gnarly, boo. I'm a party dude. Out to my crib, let's start to move. And a part of me will be a part of you. Like,
hey, hey. Bang, 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 bang. Shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes. Want you to bang, 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 bang. Shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes, shoot them hoes.
Do the west side percolator, south side percolator. Do the west side percolator, south side percolator. Do the 40s on that bitch, do the 40s on that bitch. Do the 40s on that bitch, do the 40s on that bitch. Where your work's at? Your footwork, where your work's at? Your footwork, put your dick on the head. 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 Hi-oh!
Hey.
And we out.